It's a beautiful Sunday night. It's what, 40 something degrees. Deer are moving. Fish are biting. Leaves are falling.
Geese are flying.
Geese are flying.
Geese are dying.
Geese are dying. Geese have been eaten.
Is that a haiku?
I don't know. I kind of, for some reason, as I was doing that, I was thinking like, three.
I thought the same thing.
I was trying to think of the words as I was like freeforming there, but I couldn't.
So what did the
it.
Geese do again? They swim, maybe? No, the swans are swimming. Geese are laying.
Geese are laying. Yeah, there it is. That's what I think. That's what triggered my mind into. And you know what? Believe it or not, Menards, Fleet Farm, Home Depot, they all have their Christmas stuff out.
We should
get into parody songs. A lot of radio shows do that.
You absolutely should. Do you remember Strew did? They had the In the Meadow with the, the meadow. It was like, yeah.
Instead of in the ghetto?
Yeah.
You know what lately I've been kind of wanting to do, which I think would be a fun job, is write jingles for a living.
We could do that.
Brandon, like us three, our minds, Drew could be in there.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
You guys' music knowledge would probably help me.
I think
me.
We just start doing it without permission from businesses. We'll just make a jingle for them, whether they want it or not.
And just sell
and
it.
Like, here you go. This is your new jingle.
Because we're both salesmen.
Yeah. And I would need you guys because probably all my jingles would be knocked off. Like, so like you'd have to just remind me like, oh, that's already taken.
The best part of hunting deer is, you know, yeah.
is gutting
it's
them.
Just
and
direct ripoffs. Yeah.
Save big money at fill in the blank.
I'm a lot better at parodies than original works, so we'd be in trouble. But yeah.
How's your week, man?
Anyway, it was a great week. You know, it got cold.
It got cold.
It's not as crazy as, and we'll talk about my recent goose hunting success. I feel like a true man.
Yeah.
Because every time I go hunting or fishing, I'm usually with someone that knows more than I do.
Sure.
That's pretty much everything in life, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a good co-host.
You know, if you're the smartest man in the room, you need to find a new room. So you're just living that, right? You need someone to catch.
I live that everywhere I go.
Yeah, so it did get cold. It was earlier in the week, you know, it'd be cold mornings, and then it'd get to like 70. One day it was like 75 or 77, I think, a couple days. But man, like, I think it was Thursday. It got a bit nippy.
It did. It did. It cooled down a lot. I sat for 3 hours watching flag football today, and I had a sweatshirt on and like our Four Outdoorsman like windbreaker.
Yeah.
I was freezing. Really cold the whole time.
Yeah. It's definitely chilly out. We had to go out yesterday and do some stuff at the land, and it's definitely cold. You definitely search for the sun, to be in the sun. So,
well, you are a busy man. You're building a pole barn and a house at the same time. That was smart. You're basically out there every day working your butt off. So there's zero outdoor stuff for you, basically.
I was outdoor. but yeah, here and there, obviously. But my outdoor part was definitely checking my trail cameras. That was the most hunting outdoorsman activity I did all week, was wake up at 7 in the morning and study my my trail camera pictures.
You got a new buck on there.
Couple new
bucks. I'm excited to shoot it for you.
Yeah, you got it, brother. Yeah, couple new bucks. They're definitely getting a little swollen in the neck, if you will. And they're starting to move. A couple day pictures, which is good. That's a good sign. But scrapes, rubs all over the place. New scrapes every day. So it's definitely the rut is slowly approaching.
Do you think it's temperature related, or is it like hours in the day, like just natural cycle related
that kicks in the rut?
Yeah,
it's barometric pressure.
So a cold front or something?
Cold front, just the pressure in the air gets them going. A lot of people say it's on the moon phase, which is like a huge like discussion topic that
it's debated in forums.
Yes,
and you're saying it's not.
I would say that. Personally,
write to Sam at fouroutdoorsman.com. Just kidding.
No.
We don't actually have emails.
No, that's why I was going to let people write that. No, I
just bounced back, you jerk.
Yeah, I get this error message, idiot. I just spent 45 minutes writing this 10 paragraph. No, I do think actually, I think the moon does play a little effect in it, but my experience sitting in a stand is when that cold front comes through.
Yeah.
When that cold front comes through, they're moving.
Yeah.
I think the obviously the moon has a little bit of effect on it, but they say that overall is that barometric pressure, when you get into like that 31, 32 for barometric pressure, it's just like...
So that's not temperature related at all, really?
Not really, no.
Okay.
But I think that on top of the cold front
right,
is what does her in.
Well, we have Strew joining us from duck camp in a little bit. I'll just get into my goose hunting story. So I went with my friend Jim, and like I said before, I'm always with someone that knows more than I. And Jim has hunted a lot, but he's kind of in the same boat. So I kind of took charge of this one, which is different for me. It makes me nervous because I don't like being the lead guy.
Was it successful?
It was successful. It was a cold, beautiful morning. We put out some goose decoys. We were on water, put on some goose decoys, put on some duck decoys. And I'd like to get into this more later, the debate. People say that ducks will not fly into geese decoys, but geese will fly into duck decoys. So there was both flying around. So I was a little torn.
Yeah.
And we shot a lone goose early, but it was cool because we called him, right? Like, I've never done it myself. I've been with a guide or someone else that's really good, where they're flying over, you call, they turn, and then they turn again.
That's cool.
And they circle, and they circle, and they come in, and they lock up. Their feet come down, and, you know, they're wobbling like they're going to land. That was cool to be a part of that, to see that happen.
Yeah, that
and
is awesome.
The fact that we shot it, and we don't have a dog, so I had to wade out to the absolute middle of a pond, not knowing how deep it was. I would say 50 yards.
Were you nervous?
I was very nervous. Yeah, I had no idea. You know, you could step, and all of a sudden it's a drop-off.
Did you do the toe tap in front of you every time?
No, I didn't, because, it's not like, it's obviously a muddy bowl. Yeah. You know, there isn't any big rocky drop-offs or anything. But I waited all the way out and got it. Thank goodness. I found out I have a hole in my waders because
were your legs?
My
like
dinghy was wet. And but anyway, I can talk more about it later. But it was a success. We saw lots of ducks. They didn't land in front of us. They landed about 100 yards to the right. So I got to figure this out.
Well, speaking of ducks.
Yeah, we Mr. Have Duck, the Duck Commander Strew himself.
The new Duck Commander Strew. Are you there? Oh, get him.
Take him.
Quiet. I got to talk quietly. I'm in a blind right now.
Ooh. Well, that's the good thing about duck hunting is you don't have to be quiet. So you're a natural fit for that.
Yeah, these guys, there's about six of us, 10 yards apart. Maybe, yeah, six of us, 10 yards apart and in the reeds here. And everyone's BSing and telling stories and all that. It's kind of fun. Yeah, it is a... This is my kind of deal, man. So I'm kind of laying low and having a good time. We haven't seen any birds. We got up here a couple hours ago, so this is a short stint in the blind, but we'll be back tomorrow morning. We don't anticipate any luck tonight, but tomorrow's another day, and it's just it's nice to be here. It's nice weather, too.
Strew, so you've been at this duck camp before. Can you explain the general area and just give us a brief overview of the group there?
I can't give you a general area because I'll never get invited here again.
I don't mean coordinates. I mean, are you in western Minnesota?
Yeah, western Minnesota, yeah. We went through Motley. We're about an hour and a half away from Motley or something like that. So I'm not exactly sure where we are. I just know I'm sitting in some reeds having a good time. What's cool about this for me is that, you know, I like to organize stuff. What's cool about this is I just hopped in Wade's truck and said, take me where you want to go, and here we are. That's what's fun about it. Good guy. So Tony Sampere is the guy. He and his family own this place. It's been in his family for at least 50 years. It's a big five-bedroom old house that sits on top of a hill overlooking all the wetlands, and you can literally walk to where we are right now within 4 minutes and have some of the best hunting in the state of Minnesota. I've only been up here twice before, but we had wonderful results both times. So it's nice of Tony Sampere to invite me up here because he's running out of jokes. He needs me to show up every once in a while to fill these guys in. Now, there's about 10 guys who are going to be here tomorrow, and we're going to hunt for a few hours in the morning. We might grouse hunt mid-morning like those because there's lots of trails, and they shoot a few of those up here as well. And then, you know, a few minutes ago, have a couple of cocktails, a nice dinner, and it's just a cool deal. And I told you about this last year, but one of the coolest things about it, they've got a a retired guide, not guide, a chef named Johnny, who spends the weekends in this cabin, and he cooks 4- and 5-course meals, 6-course meals, every meal.
Wow.
From scratch. If you shoot ducks that night, you're going to have some kind of special duck dish. He's got, it's so neat. You feel, and he has 3 or 4 different kinds of wine to go with each course of the meal, and it's really a cool deal. So we all throw in a few bucks and pay Johnny off, and then, we don't do any dishes or anything. We just show up, so it's kind of a cool deal. Pretty blessed, man.
Strew, how long are you up there for?
I am going to be coming back home on Tuesday, because Wednesday I've got to meet somebody in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, and do a little dock work and all that, maybe take one last cruise with Diana. Get back to home Wednesday night, then Thursday morning, Rocket Man, my buddy Bob Krejci, and I are heading back up to Ely to catch some smallmouth and a few walleyes, and I'll be back home again on Friday evening. So I've got a full week here.
Wow.
You're going back up to Ely again? I didn't hear about that trip. You're Mr. Ely lately.
I'm going back up with Ely Tourism and Arrowhead Outdoors are our sponsors, and when they tell you to poop, you got to jump. you got to keep on going, pal. Just how much do you want? So, no, they invited us up, and I'm looking forward to that. And he showed me some pictures of a smallmouth that they caught a couple of days ago, a few 20-inchers, and that's on my bucket list. So we'll see what he said. It's cold, got to dress warm, but we're gonna go up and fish for half a day, maybe a full day, and come back on Friday evening, Bob and I are. So pretty cool.
Stuart, are there permanent blinds there, or how does that work? Are you sitting like in a nice bench, like in a pit, or what do you guys shoot out of?
No, it's all natural stuff. These are, you sit high and dry. There's nothing but reeds and cattails on a point. They've got probably, there's 3 or 4 different places they hunt. Right, there's a right. You can hear a vehicle go right by right now, and that's behind us. But there's probably a 100 yards of beautiful shoreline, all reeds, nice high and dry. They've got lawn chairs in there and all that, but you never have to get wet. You can walk right to it within, like I said, 5 to 10 minutes max. And, it's just natural stuff. They don't have anything special set up. They just cut them right out of. You can lay, right now I just, with my hands and my body, just rolled over a bunch of these reeds and gave myself a place to sit down, and it is absolutely perfect. We were here a couple of years ago, the last time I was up here, and we had the best hunting, probably the third best hunting that Tony Sampier said that they've had in 50 years up here, and that's the truth. So it's cool. Right now, nothing's happening, but it's still better than working, right?
Yeah, what do you guys expect to come through? Are you just hunting for mallards, or anything comes through, or geese, or what usually lands in front of you?
Well, last year, remember, last time I was here, we got some... let's see, we had some, we didn't have any teal, we got some mallards, we got some, are they called, mergansers, which was no mm-hmm. big deal, they got some buffalo heads came through, they got some, they call them ringnecks, what do they call those? No, that's a
those
pheasant.
Are pheasants.
Yeah.
That would take talent to shoot one of those, you know, coming in to the decoys.
Yeah. And if a goose are flying over once in a while, they're too high right now, but if a goose comes by, I'll drop it, I'm like you, if it's flying, you know,
it's dying.
You shoot it. Like deer hunting. If it's flying, you shoot it. If it's like a deer hunting, if it's brown, it's down. One of those things, right?
Fantastic. Hey,
did you guys hear about that I sent you information about that truck and
yes.
the fish house that went through the ice in Chautauqua, Wisconsin? Isn't that amazing?
Wait a minute. I sent you
that. Yeah, Mark sent that to us.
Yeah, it's crazy. It came from... I don't know if it was Arrowhead Outdoors or, I mean, Outdoor News or wherever this came from, but I talked to the Barron County Sheriff, Chris Fitzgerald, and I wasn't sure it was. He's yep, on the chain of Lake Chautauqua. Can you believe there must have been just a small, it had to be, you know, a quarter inch of ice out there because it's probably melted already, and someone tried to drive a truck pulling a fish house on that lake.
They were drunk, too.
Yeah, well, you'd have to. I mean, how would you ever think that you could support a truck and a permanent ice house right now? That is absolutely crazy. So I saw it on the Barron County Sheriff Facebook page, and I started following them because I love your Barron County reports, and they post a lot of that stuff on there. So, yeah, I saw it. There's a truck and a permanent ice house in the water right now. Someone thought they could drive.
I want the Barron County
jingle. Thinking about, you know, thank God we have the first responders like we do. And I'm thinking, if I was one of the first responders, you have to think to yourself, do I want to risk my life for idiots like this? I mean, I know they have a job to do, but sometimes you got to think enough is enough, you know?
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And we're going to have the sheriff on next week to talk about it. I can't wait to hear the explanation behind why someone thought it was a good idea to drive on a centimeter of ice. That's crazy.
Yeah, we've had Chris Fitzgerald on a couple of times before talking about 4th of July incidents on the Chichek Channel Lakes. He's a good speaker, and he wants to make sure, he wants to holler to the world, get your ass off the ice. There's no ice just yet. Just be smart, you know, because people die every year from stupidity, you know, from stupidity. Hey, I was excited about your little goose hunt there. Were you hunting goose or ducks or any? What were you doing?
We were originally I was going to do a field hunt for geese, but your son Mike said that most of them were landing in the pond nearby, so I set up down there, and man, we saw birds all over the place. We shot one goose, and it was a lot of fun. We called one in. We actually called one in. Can you believe that?
Cool.
And it landed, and I made jalapeno goose poppers last night that were fantastic. And for lunch today, I just sliced up the other goose breast and pan fried it, and it was delicious.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. I wouldn't even know how to clean a goose. Who shot? Now, it's always we. When you said we got one, it means your buddy got the goose.
No, I think I shot it. I'm pretty sure I did.
And I tell you, I was reading all the hunting rules and regulations that I picked up my license for duck hunting here, of course, and it said, and you honored all those rules today because, or it was yesterday, I think is what it was, because one of the things it says, you must, anytime you down a bird, you must do everything conceivably to retrieve it, and you did over and above. That was really cool for what you did. That's funny, man.
I went swimming. I was nervous. If there was any wind at all, it would have blown right to us, but it was just sitting there, and I'm like, we got to do something. So I just went for it, and thank goodness I was able to make it. But, Strewman, we got to take a break here. You enjoy yourself. Take lots of pictures. You know I tell you that every time you go on one of these trips. Send me pictures so we can post them so everyone can take a look. But you have fun. We got to have Tony on maybe next week or the week after. I have lots of duck questions because I'm just starting to really, really enjoy the sport, and I want to get better at it.
All right, we'll have him on next week. By the way, I sent you a text of me in the duck blind, so if you haven't seen that yet, take a look at it.
We saw it.
By the way, Strew, next week, your buddy Howie on the Homegrown Show.
Oh, that's right. Well, I'll be in studio early then. All right, buddy, talk to you soon. And that's Howie Atherton, Elvis tribute guy. We're going to go to a show of his on November 6th. At the stadium in White Bear Lake. So I'm going to promote that a little bit and push it, and let's get some more people out there.
Thanks, see you,
guys.
Have
a great show. Talk to you guys later.
All right, who do we got next, Sam?
We have a father-son duo, Wade and Brandon Lucking. They are 157 Outdoors. They did a little mentoring this week with the youth season, and I think they had a little success. We'll find out.
The Four Outdoorsmen, just average guys that love to hunt and fish and chew the fat on Bob Outdoors.
It's no secret that we love the city of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not just the thrill that comes with its unbelievable hunting and fishing, but everything that Devil's Lake has to offer. You can choose from nearly 30 restaurants, many hotel and motel options, a dozen campsites, theater, golfing, hiking, nearby casino, or just plain exploring. Walleyes and jumbo perks, well, they might draw you here, but Devil's Lake itself will keep you coming back. Hey, trust through me on this one. Visit devilslakend.com.
Call DeZiel Heating and AC when you need dependable, affordable, and professional furnace repair at your West Metro or Wright County home. DeZiel knows the feeling when your furnace goes out during a cold winter day. If you have a unit that's ready to roll over, DeZiel's team of licensed and certified HVAC technicians are here to help. DeZiel's trucks are stocked to repair any furnace system and can get your house warm and cozy again. Suspect a problem? Call the top dog today before your furnace goes out. They will come running to your rescue before it is too late. DeZielHVAC.com.
Clam Outdoors has something for every ice angler. Dave Gens created the original fish trap 40 years ago, and Clam continues to lead the industry with portable sled style and hub shelters today. Beyond ice shelters, Clam continues to bring new innovation and products to the sport. From ice fishing suits, cold weather gear, tackle, fishing line, accessories, rods, reels, and combos, and much more to add to your ice fishing arsenal. Check out the full line of ice fishing gear at clamoutdoors.com. Pursue the ice.
Get ahead of the game and get your ATV trailer into Crystal Welding for repairs before hunting season. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove services all trailers. Crystal Welding is also your local Hinneker dealer, carrying Hinneker snowplows and winter accessories. Get your repairs scheduled now and be prepared for the season before it starts. Stop in to schedule or go to crystalwelding.com for more information.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. Your jobs are small because we do it all.
Mark here, and soon the time will come to drop off my boat for a luxury winter spa vacation at Power Lodge. No, not mud baths and cucumbers. Expert winterization storage out of the elements for your boat, pontoon, or personal watercraft. There's still some fishing time left, but reserve your spot while there's room. Three locations ready to help you. Down the road from our studios off Highway 10 in Ramsey, Brainerd off Highway 371, and Onamia off Highway 169. Online at powerlodge.com.
The 2021 Hardwater Ice Fishing Expo is coming to the National Sports Center in Blaine, November 19th through the 21st. Featuring the latest gear like augers, tackle, rods, reels, sleds, trailers, electronics, and more. Stick around for great pro seminars and learn tips and tricks that will help you catch more fish this winter. There's fun for kids and adults, so bring the whole family. You don't want to miss this. That's the 2021 Hardwater Ice Fishing Expo, November 19th through the 21st at the National Sports Center in Blaine.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code FREE for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code FREE for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code FREE.
Gift cards for your favorite eateries are on DealsOnRadio.com. Leonard's Bar and Grill, Hamway Lanes, Drake O'Neill's, and more. Leave the dishes in the cupboard tonight and support a small business.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
The thumbs up has been given from my man, Brandon. We are back. It was good hearing from Strew up north. Hopefully he has some good luck and he's safe. But right now we have a good friend of mine that, like, Brandon or Mark and I were talking. We kind of got to know each other on social media. He is from the same area when I had that property up north of Mora. We have Mr. Wade Lucking and his son, Brandon. And I believe Jeff possibly is on there too. So how are you guys doing?
Good. Pretty good, Sam. How are you?
Doing well. So is it Brandon and Jeff or just Brandon?
Jeff just wasn't Brandon. Able to make it.
Okay. Perfect. Well, let's introduce yourself to the listeners. I know you guys started that 157 Outdoors. I think it was a couple years past, and you've had some good success getting some following. But you guys are just a couple of guys who absolutely love the outdoors. Why don't you, Wade, start off? Give us... You know, what got you into hunting? What obviously you've taught your boys, so give us a little background on yourself.
Yeah, I should probably clear that up. So Jeff is actually just a good friend of mine.
Okay.
Brandon's my son, but as most people in our neck of the woods, I've brought up hunting with my family. My dad hunted, grandpa's hunted, so it was kind of natured into me, so to speak.
And obviously that love has not only been for whitetail, it's been, I've seen, you know, turkey, you fish, and obviously, like you said, you pass it on to your son Brandon, which is awesome. And you guys have had some good success, and you know, you guys have been in central Minnesota too. You know, a lot of guys who have success are usually in southern Minnesota, so it's good to finally see like a group in central Minnesota who's having some fun. So, Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself. Obviously your dad got you into it, but you know, what's the passion? What's the drive?
I don't know. It's addicting hobby. Like you said, you know, and it's true. You know, my dad got me into it really young, and we mainly archery hunt, so that was our main thing we do. So, you know, he got me into that, and I grew up with it. You know, up until 18, and then we hunted together, and then just recently, I kind of just been doing my own thing too now, because I moved away. And so, yeah, like I said, it's an addicting hobby to do. It's fun.
Yeah, no, and Mark and myself, you know, sitting next to me here, we feel that same. You know, it is addicting. You get into it. It's fun. What made you guys start that 157 Outdoors?
You know, for me, Sam, it was just about sharing our experience. You know, social media helps so much in these cases, right?
Yep.
You know, everybody gets to see everything on TV, and you know, I put it together to show the average guy that enjoys the outdoors that they can do and harvest animals that they want to harvest in their areas and share that, and so everybody can see those experiences and they don't always have to follow the hype, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I get it. Like your average Joe's, you know, you're not hunting, you know, 2,000 acres of private land in Iowa, you know. And I appreciate.
You're not? Come on.
Yeah. Maybe someday, right? Mark, you got a question?
Yeah, I have a question for both of you. So Sam, my good buddy here, gifted me a bow a couple weeks ago. And I'm very blessed that he did that. And I've hunted with a rifle my entire life. And since you're both bow hunters and really into it and know the game, I'm just getting into it. Can you guys talk about, you know, ways I should approach it a little bit differently than gun hunting? How do you become successful bow hunting?
Patience.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
To me, I shot my first deer with a bow and arrow when I was like 19 years old, and I literally sold every gun I had. It just that the gun hunting just didn't. It wasn't the same for me. Bow hunting just took over my life at that point. But as a new archer, you know, get the basics down. It's like anything else in life. You're gonna use the basics, and you're gonna fine tune your own techniques from that. You know, so. Again, it's one of those things that don't always listen to the hype on what you need to do. You're going to get the basics and tune yourself to your own archery needs, so to speak.
Do you think that, because I've never done it before, do you think, you know, grunts and rattling, is that a lot more important for bow hunting? Obviously, you need them to get closer, but is that something I have to learn, or do you think I could wing it without mastering that kind of stuff?
Absolutely, you can wing it without mastering. Archery has to have you get closer to the game. So as you're getting into this, you're going to learn how to do that. And I really believe that archery hunting can make people better rifle hunters. So, I mean, the grunting and rattling, it works. Same with decoying. I'm a big fan of decoying. And it's really time-specific, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the scouting, you know, maybe trail cameras, glassing fields early in the summer, that stuff's going to do a lot more than just rattling, grunting, or decoying.
So I'm not that familiar with decoying. Do you use a buck decoy?
Again, it's situational.
Okay.
This time of year, I strictly use a buck decoy.
Mm-hmm.
Early season, I like to use that feeding doe decoy. It just calms the deer. It'll actually take their attention off of you, possibly, and put it on the decoy. And you can make those extra little moves that you need to make, being that they're so close. And it helps you get away with a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, and I agree with you too about the patience and you know, there's nothing like slinging an arrow at a deer. I mean, I'm a big archery hunter, and I totally agree with you. I think it makes you a better rifle hunter as well, or gun hunter, we should say. But so you're spot on by that. Why don't you guys touch on, I know that you guys had some success with this youth season. You guys are mentoring a couple brothers in hunting. Who are these brothers to you? How'd you get that going? And tell us a little bit about the hunts.
So we kind of ended up this season not having a really good target buck. We tend to target certain deer. We want to shoot mature deer as much as possible. And so when we didn't really have a target to go after, we decided that we would mentor a couple youth, and we happened, Jeff, who's listening, I'm sure, good friends with a guy named Devin Wagner, and his two boys actually wrestle. Brandon, my son, also was a big wrestler in high school. So we kind of know him through the wrestling family community, and that's how they came to hunt with us this weekend.
And were they using, they were using guns, I assume?
Correct. Yep. I think they were both shooting 270s, if I remember correctly.
And this was this up in the 157 zone?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
the Mora area, yes.
Yeah. So was this the their first time like hunting at all? So you guys introduced them, and did one go with you, one go with Wade? Explain how it all happened.
One was with Jeff.
Okay. And then the other one was with you?
The other one was with Dad.
Oh, okay. So how was it, Wade? I mean, was it – I mean, I've brought rookies hunting, and there's sometimes you get just as much of adrenaline rush as them. So why don't you describe the hunt and how it happened, and was this their first time in being introduced to hunting?
No. Eli and Noah's dad – our hunters as well. I believe their dad had to work the weekend, so it kind of worked good for us and him as well, for Devin. So they both have actively shot guns and have been around guns and small game hunted. Noah actually has harvested two other does previous to this weekend.
So were they able to get a buck this time?
Eli, I believe it was his first deer hunt, and he shot a buck Friday night.
That's awesome.
And, so that was his first deer, and it was a buck. It was a six-pointer. He was pretty jacked up, pretty stoked. So
that's awesome.
And then, Noah, the same night, we actually he had shot high on his first one and really shot high on his second one. I actually seen 11 deer that night, and three of them were bucks. And we ended up replaying. We've been filming these hunts. So we replayed the footage and realized something just wasn't quite right. And Saturday, before we went out, he resighted his gun, and it was 2.5 feet high.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. His dad actually grabbed the scope, and it fell off the gun. So.
Oh. What? That's a bummer. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. I appreciate you guys, you know, bringing youth hunting. That's a big thing, is getting new people into this sport that we love and we're passionate about. We're going to let you go, but before we let you go, tell the listeners where they can follow you on social media, on how they can follow that 157 Outdoors, because you guys do a great job of posting a lot on there. I personally love, seeing it and waiting for it. So quickly tell the listeners how they can follow you, and then we'll have to get you in studio sometime in the future.
That sounds good, Sam. So they can find us on Facebook. The important part of it is THE 157 Outdoors. We also have a YouTube channel, and we are on Instagram as well.
Perfect.
And if you just search us, you can find us all three ways.
Well, I appreciate what you guys are doing for the sport and spreading the love for it. And like I said, I like looking at your stuff, and hopefully we can help get a couple more followers. But you guys have a great rest of your weekend, great week, and good luck through the rest of the hunting season.
All right, you too, Sam.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks, guys. Yeah, man, it's pretty cool what they do. Like I said, I've been watching for a couple of years and getting that started, and it's fun seeing the growth. And, you know,
yeah.
And Wade's pretty in it. Like, he does hunting, fishing. I think he also trains hunting dogs, too. And then you can see Brandon's just right along with him. So, we got some shout outs we want to do real quick.
Yeah, we got a bunch of shout outs. Thank you, everyone, for writing into the Four Outdoorsman shout out. If you want to be famous and be on the radio, just comment on every week's post. We have a bunch of good ones here. A buddy I used to work with and friend, Brian Amberg, says, "Lost my good friend and hunting mentor after 91 legendary years. The best way I could think of honoring him was to take a new hunter to the land he found for us after he returned from World War II. 18 ducks and one sky carp later, I got one of Mason's buddies hooked." That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Bill Katz is still steaming in the West Coast. Have a great show. Bill, you must be on like a 3-week vacation, because
yeah, get back to work. It's ice season.
You're probably wrinkly. You've been in that pool for 3 weeks.
He's pruned.
Jesse Koskinimi says, "I think we re-air the Flush episode he was on. It should be on next week." Well, we're going to have a Flush host on, so maybe he can tell you. Ron Nielsen says, "Trying to get Lucy her first deer. Wind is a tad brutal today." Craig Rudolph Jr. says, "Still waiting for the deer to show up. Been having a great time despite the lack of deer." And Steve Renneberg, who Stru's going to go see again, said, "Had a great time catching big smallies. Bigger the bait, the better." So things are hopping up there.
Yeah.
One. Here we go.
Oh, wow.
I guess we're taking a break right now. We're coming back with Scott Franson, my boss.
All right.
So I'm a little nervous, but he is also a host of The Flush and a true outdoorsman with a new dog. I'm going to talk a little dog tips and stuff like that. So up next, Scott Franson with The Flush.
Listen to Total Country Bob FM anytime, anywhere, online at mybobcountry.com. Thanks to Aurora Asphalt and Concrete. Go to aurora-asphalt.com for a free quick estimate.
It's that time of the year, and Devil's Lake is the destination. I'm thinking of fall walleyes in the morning, bird hunting in the afternoon, and a ribeye steak in the evening. Devil's Lake, North Dakota just might be the premier city in the country for multi-species hunting and fishing all in the same trip. Hey, we're blessed to make a couple of trips to Devil's Lake every year. It truly is an outdoor lover's Disney World. Bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your golf clubs, bring your family. Visit devilslakend.com.
Mark here, and it's been an honor for us here at the Four Outdoorsmen to partner with Clam Outdoors. We trust Clam with our safety by wearing suits with motion float technology. We use fish traps by the company that started it all, and Clam Pro Tackle is simply the best in the business. Most of all, the pros and employees at Clam have become great friends over the years, and great people make a great company. Visit clamoutdoors.com and join the family. Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now. Want to enjoy the outdoors? Forget bird watching or walking around on your own 2 feet like a sucker. The best way to entertain the fam is start ripping around on a new ATV or boat with help from my friends at Power Lodge. For over 20 years, Power Lodge has sold and serviced boats, ATVs, UTVs, sleds, golf carts, and now Rambo electric bikes. Make your next outdoors experience great at Power Lodge, 3 locations in Ramsey, Brainerd, and Onamia, or online at powerlodge.com.
Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen, everyone. It's Sunday night. It's getting nice out. It's getting cool. Birds are flying. And I'd like to welcome our first guest. He also happens to be my boss, the CEO of Ron Share Productions, also co-host of the Flush TV show on Outdoors Channel and Rooster Tales show on Fox Sports North and Sportsman's Channel, Mr. Scott Franson. Are you there?
I'm here, Mark. What a nice introduction.
Well, I have to kiss your butt as much as possible because you signed my checks.
Well, there'll be an extra dollar in your next check, Mark.
Well, thanks, Scott. It's been, you know, I've been doing this show forever, and I've worked for you for 6 years, and I think this is the second time I've had you on. I believe I had you talking fly fishing when we were in Montana a few years ago. You were nice enough to invite us to your beautiful place, and I got to experience fly fishing in Montana for the first time. So this is number two. So thanks for joining us. I know you're a busy man.
Oh, well, my pleasure. My pleasure. And hopefully I'll do a little better job so it's not 5 years in between my next appearance.
I've been trying to convince you I'm a big shot, and it hasn't been working, so I thought I'd bring you on and talk. Anyway, I just wanted to talk to you about a couple things tonight. So you're CEO of Roundshare Productions and my boss, but you're also our co-host of The Flush on Outdoors Channel. It's I know I sell it, but it's the best upland show around. So why don't you first question is, how did you get your way on the show, or did you just say, I'm the boss, I'm going to be a new co-host of The Flush?
No, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. What happened is, as Ron and Bill, who are the main two hosts of the show, transitioned into other things they were doing for the company, Ron couldn't do five or six shows like he had been doing, and neither could Bill. And we moved Travis in to be the main host of the show. And Travis is doing probably six or more episodes a year. And Ron was still doing a couple, and Bill was still doing a couple, but that left us about two episodes short of a season. And so I said, hey, I can do one. I love to hunt. I have dogs. I can try and figure this out on the fly. And then one became two, and sometimes two became three. But most of the time I do two a year, more out of necessity to get the show done than the fact that I'm really, truly eye candy.
I see your face light up when people come to Pheasant Fest and say, you know, they know you and they know your dogs. And it's okay to admit, it's kind of fun being a little bit famous, right?
It is. It's flattering. I think the main thing is they see me miss pheasants on television, yeah, or curse at my dog. That usually gets beeped out or things. And then I go, hey, that's kind of like me out there. So
I understand completely. Now, you had a very special hunt last week in North Dakota. I know that because I see your dogs every day and every time you're in. So you unfortunately lost Hank, which was a great dog, and I know how impossibly tough that was for you because Hank was just coming up in his prime and he was a wonderful dog. But you also got Millie. Millie, this is her first year hunting this year. Why don't you talk about Millie and talk about your first true travel hunting experience with the new dog?
Sure. Well, yeah, Millie is Hank's daughter. And to back up just a little bit, Hank was our five-year-old yellow lab. And he was just a great, great dog and a great family dog, a great hunting dog, and had just finished his fourth year of hunting, was really coming into his own. And I'm not going to lie, I adored that dog.
Oh, yeah.
And we bred him. And he had to another black lab female, and they had five black lab puppies, three females and two males. And we took a female. We took the pick of the females. And when we brought Millie home about 4 or 5 weeks after Millie was part of the family, Hank started acting differently. And long story short, he'd come down with cancer. And after about 30 days, we had to put him down. So Millie became the sole focus of our family, and she's now a 7-month-old black lab. And I love to train my own hunting dogs. I've been doing it for many, many years now. Millie's now my seventh. and worked with her all summer on a variety of different things, and gradually introducing her to kind of pen-raised birds, and eventually, you know, have her tracking and following and holding them, and then transitioning to shooting one or two over to just last week before I went on her first wild bird hunt. I took her to a game farm, and she put up like five or six birds, and I shot them, and she got them, and then I figured, okay, now you're ready for the real thing. So I had her up in the far northwest corner of North Dakota last year with two of my best hunting buddies, and she had her first wild bird hunt, and it just, you know, gradually kicked in for her. And to see those instincts in a hunting dog come out as they're trailing a rooster or even a hen that's running on them or burrowing into cover, and see this little seven-month-old puppy go in there and root them out or retrieve them, it was just a joy.
That's awesome. Hey, Scott, it's Sam. I got a quick question for you. You know, I definitely am the type of person, I like to try and do stuff myself first, and you said you've trained all your dogs. How do you even start? Like, where do you start with, like, trying to prepare a dog to take him pheasant hunting? Like, I know, like, I could YouTube it, but, like, from your experience, what's the best thing to start first to try and teach him?
Well, make sure you have a shock collar that goes to 11.
Do you amp it up? You, you know, add a little extra voltage?
Dip it in water?
No. That is, I got my first hunting dog when I was in college, and he was a wonderful hunting dog, but just not well behaved in the field from the standpoint of if he was on a bird trail or a deer trail or anything else, and you didn't stay with him, you either didn't shoot anything or he busted the field, and just not train him very well. And I vowed to myself, what's going to that again. So a buddy of mine recommended it. It's an old book, but it served me well, and it's called Game Dog, G-A-M-E, Dog, by Richard Wolters, who's written a bunch of different training books. And Richard Wolters, there's pictures of him, and he looks like a combination of Einstein and somebody else. But the biggest thing I would say is from this book, I'd never done with my dogs until I read it. Once your puppy, that a couple of things. Pick your puppy up on the 49th day of its life, according to him, and there might be different philosophies out there now. I want to qualify that. But every day after that the puppy is with the mom and litter is another day they bond with them, and that relationship becomes a little more entrenched versus them doing that and bonding with you as their new owner. And then once your puppy learns his or her name, which is usually around the ninth week or, you know, some time between 9 and 10 weeks, and you'll know it because you'll be calling them their name, and eventually one time you're going to say, hey, Millie, and they're going to turn around and look at you. Okay, they know their name now. Then you start doing the gradual obedience training that will transition things you want them to do in hunting. So that is kind of sit, stay, come. And it's all positive reinforcement. You can use treats, you know, with that training. And then as they learn sit and they learn in how to stay, and there's, you know, it tells you how to get your dog to sit, and then you gradually back up and have it sit for 2 seconds and then call it to you, and that's the start of staying. And eventually two goes to three and three goes to five, and all of a sudden it's 10, and it moves up like that. And then as they learn that with the voice command, you throw in the whistle. And it's just a progression of as they get older and having them learn it at an earlier age so that when they become 6, 7 months old, you know, actually most of my dogs have been 7 months or a little older when I've taken them hunting, they've got a foundation of obedience that you can hunt them with. And then depending on what you're hunting, if you're a duck hunter, by that time, you've taught them the variety of hand signals you may use in a duck blind to stop on the whistle, whether they're on land or in the water. And it's all happened through this progression of training. And when I say this, it's 15 or 20 minutes in the morning and 15 or 20 minutes at night. In most days, I mean, there's days that, you know, a couple of days in a row, I may not be out there training my dog because I've got something else going on. Mm-hmm. Back and do it. And as long as you're consistent and consistent with the commands you're going to use, you know, then the dog will learn that. And it's like I said, I am no professional trainer. I just want to qualify that. But because I love hunting with my dogs and I love the camaraderie and the teamwork between the dog and me, I'd rather have me being a part of that versus having them learn it from somebody else than I'm just, you know, another tool to what they've already learned. I like growing with my dog and while I'm training them.
And Scott, it's amazing to me. I'm at the office and there's dogs running around everywhere, and I love all of them, and different dogs are good for different things. But to see someone that spent the time that you have and the thought, and to see how well-trained your dogs, Hank was, and, you know, all your dogs are, where, you know, you give a command and you are 100% attention. You know what I mean? They will come, they will sit, they will do exactly what you say. And to see that mastery, I guess you could say, not only, you know, is it cool to see, but just makes you, you know, appreciate, or makes me appreciate how much time you must spend, you know, to do it right. So will you give Rob all these tips?
Ooh, I'm sorry, say that again, Mark.
I said, will you give Rob, my boss, some of these tips? Because his dog jumps all over me all the time.
Well, that's a different story, and probably a whole other show that we'll need to do.
That'll be a podcast because there'll be some swearing.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Sorry, you're cutting in and out a little bit here, but you're headed off tomorrow to another adventure trip. Why don't you tell us where you're going tomorrow and what you hope to hunt?
So tomorrow I'm heading back to North Dakota to film my first episode of this season for The Flush. And I'm heading with Millie, my pup's sister, and her mother and their owner. And it's going to be a mother-daughter hunt. I had originally planned to do this hunt when we bred the dogs, and it was going to be a family hunt, but we're going to miss Hank. And so Dan Berglove is Millie's breeder, and he's got Lucy and Junebug, and we're going to go hunting somewhere near the Glen Ullin area of North Dakota. And then our vet is going to come with us, who's just a wonderful guy and a great vet. And he was the one who kind of introduced Dan and I together to puppies. So he was the love connection, if you will. So he's going to join us on the hunt, and we're going to be chasing some pheasants and maybe some Hungarian partridge and even sharp-tailed grouse.
Fantastic. Well, I know that you are going to be making dinner for your family, and I appreciate you taking some time joining us tonight, and good luck on your hunt, and hopefully we can get a report or check back in with you. At least I know I will. But thanks for coming on, and we appreciate it. For those of you that don't know, watch The Flush on Outdoors Channel, and you'll see Scott, and certainly next year if you want to see Millie in her debut, tune in next year as well. So thank you, Scott, and
thanks, Scott.
Say hi to your family, give them a hug for me, okay?
I will. Thanks, guys, for having me on. I appreciate
it. Have
good
a good, great night.
That's something that, like I said, I like doing stuff myself, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a YouTuber.
Yep.
Like, I like to go, I'm not on YouTube, but I, you know, surf YouTube.
I'm a YouTuber. Oh, you have a channel? No, I watch a lot.
No, I watch a lot. Shut up, Brandon. You know you do the same thing.
I also don't claim to be a YouTuber, though.
I misspoke, okay?
Isn't it amazing how you don't have to have knowledge in anything anymore?
Right.
There's a video that tells you how to change the spark plug.
Thank you.
On a 47, you know, Ford Edsel.
I just had to change the headlight on my 2012 Ford Fusion, and it's impossible to do without moving things and all that.
Right.
And yeah, YouTube walked me right through it. Yep. There's no problem.
Yeah, but I like a guy like Scott,
mm-hmm.
who I feel like I would have the patience, but then like when I would get into it, I'd be like, screw it.
Yeah.
But like someone who takes the time and he's on his seventh dog, like, that's so like, I right. love that. Like
it's such a skill, and to see people master it.
Yeah.
Like anything, you know, it's like you go with a duck hunter that's been doing it for yeah. five decades. And you just, there's nothing you can learn like real life experience. And you can see that in his dog. Like his dogs are so well behaved. Yeah. It's like, get in the truck. They just run around, jump right in the truck. Yeah. It's just absolutely incredible.
I hope and pray that I am that person to somebody. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm like, you like Scott, like the dude's fantastic at
yeah.
training dogs. Like he's got, obviously he's got way more skills, but you. Your 90s music knowledge is unheard of.
Well, it's all in time spent, right? They say it takes 10,000 hours of anything to become a master. 10,000 hours. And I've spent 10,000 hours listening to alternative 90s ballads.
Yeah, I just hope and pray that, like, you know, when they make my gravestone,
that they, it'll say YouTuber.
It's not, yeah. I just hope it's not like a 5-hour discussion. I'm like, man, what should we put on there?
Yeah, he like, wasn't good at anything.
Yeah, like yeah, he was. He had a great personality.
Yeah, he was high on life.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we have 2 minutes here. Let's thank our sponsors. Yeah, let's. Thank you, everyone. That sponsors us to let this show happen. Thank you, Devil's Lake Tourism. We're going to be scheduling a trip up there this winter. One of the best destinations in the country for fishing, hunting, anything. Thank you. What else? Power Lodge. I've been putting off putting my boat away, but I'm going to put it in November 5th week. So time to say goodbye to the boat and on to hunting season. Cats Covers, Bill, Cats Covers, thank you so much. Clam Outdoors, I can't wait to do the switch. I do a switch every fall, you know, put all the winter stuff away, put all and I love pulling out my clam pop-up shelter.
Yeah,
and so we're ready for that. Arrowhead Outdoors hosting Strew again next week. Thank you, everyone. Am I forgetting anybody?
No. For all the hunters, we got 2 weeks till deer gun opener, so get your gun sighted in. We're going to go sight in this week. And
let's take a video of us sighting in.
Let's do it. Let's get some content.
We need to be YouTubers.
Okay, I'm never going to lose that. But, yeah, so get ready for the season. A couple weeks coming up. The rut is kicking in. Deer are moving. Everyone have a great week. And before I let you go, my buddy Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.